We have kicked off a new sermon series called The Journey. It's the story of men and women, children of God, whose lives have been intersected by the power of God. The journey. And what better place to start than the very beginning, the blueprint? Have any of you been builders, construction people, you know, or maybe you're into manufacturing and you've had blueprints that you've had to read, things that you had to take and go, okay, this is how they want the part or the house or the project to end up. So you had a thing called blueprints, a set of prints that told you how things were to be put together when they finished. So we're going to start with the blueprint of the journey. And the blueprint for the journey starts in the Garden of Gethsemane, not Gethsemane, the Garden of Eden. Wow. Did I just skip a couple pages? So here it is, the blueprint. Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Listen to this. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. What's the blueprint? You and I are created in what image? In the image of God. In the image of God, male and female, God created them. You see, there is no separation of powers. God created them like, and yet with different properties, if you will. My wife helps me with relationships because I needed that teaching in how to relate and speak with people without speaking down to them or putting them down. I mean, the fireman days, we just found ways to put each other down and to pound on each other and to make fun of one another. And boy, if you had any glitch in your armor at all, oh, they would seek it out and they would make it known to everybody else. My wife has had her hands full, to say the least. George, behave. Wow. Out of you, George, really, my brother? I did not expect that. Can you feel the love? I can feel the heat. You think we can maybe cool it down in here a little bit more? Sound booth? Hello. Thank you. Who's cold? Well, go cuddle up next to them if they get cold, John. Just help them out with that, because the rest of us are dying out here. So we were made in the image of God. Man and woman are equally treasured and blessed with knowing God and communing directly with God. Women, have any of you in seeking out God in your quiet time, have you ever heard God say, "Oh no, excuse me, not right now, a man is talking"? aren't you glad? No. Man and woman have been given equal access to God. And they are equally treasured and blessed by God. We are all just children of God. Amen? Let me continue on in Genesis chapter 1. God blessed the male and female and said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it." Fill the earth and govern it. Nikki Van Aken has been trying to fill the earth all by herself. She is in a competition with her sister. They are both, in fact, she's got one in the oven right now to make it a blessed four. And I don't know if they're going for the basketball team or just exactly what. But they have taken to heart, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. There's a second part to that. And govern it. Reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth, and all the fruit trees for your food. Guys, this is a really bad menu item here. Seed-bearing plants, where are the tasty animals? Well, they are eating the seed-bearing plants right along with you. At least in the very order of things, plus the fruit from the trees. I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky, and small animals that scurry along the ground. Everything that has life. And that is what happened. So in the very beginning, in the Garden of Eden, man and animal alike feasted on the fruits of the trees and the seed-bearing plants in the garden. And everybody got along. Nobody was looking at the cow going, "Ugh, steak Friday night, hamburger." Or the chicken running around going, "How many things in this earth do you taste like?" Everything tastes like chicken, right? But understand this, God has given us the rule over all the animals and the birds of the air, the fish in the sea. Understand that word, fish in the sea. Dan Houghton knows about that. Because he used to fish in the sea. I have been trying to fish in the lakes, and I am unsuccessful. To me, this is a revelation. I need to go fish in the sea. Just saying. Maybe not. But we were to cohabitate with the beasts that would otherwise eat man alive. And God saw that all he had made, and he declared it what? Oh, not just good. Very good. Everything God created, he said, is very good. Now we go to chapter 2 of Genesis, and it seems like there's a little bit of a backtracking. But there's not. It's just a repeat with some extra flair thrown in. You know, it's kind of like giving you a bowl of salad and then having a bowl of salad with dressing on it.
I like the dressing. Honey Dijon, thank you very much.
Or ranch if you don't have that. Chapter 2, verses 4 to 17. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. So the heavens didn't just explode and happen, right? God created them. And he put every star in place, every planet. In fact, how many of you got up and saw the stars falling from the sky? We had a meteor shower, I guess, last night or the day before. Anybody see that? The news was trying to tell you all about it. None of you guys went out there to see that happening? Okay, well, sorry. Neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth, for the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. The Hebrew word for dust of the ground is Adama. Adama. So you see, Adam's name is a play off the dust that he was made from. Adam, Adama. Interesting, huh? God breathes life into man, and man becomes a living being. You know why some of you feel like you're just dead? It's because you don't have the life of God, the breath of God within you. But if God has breathed his breath, his very presence, his very essence into your life, then you have life. Life is not what the world would define it as. Life is as the giver of life defines it. And life, according to God, is when his breath is breathed into you. His spirit is imparted into you, and you become knowledgeable of the things of God. I meet a lot of people that are very knowledgeable about a whole lot of other subjects other than God. And they're very happy to take up your time and your life, those precious minutes that you will never get back, listening to them pontificate upon the stupid things of this world and its system. But you know what I really treasure? I really treasure someone who comes up to me and says, "Wow, this is what the Word of God showed me." All of a sudden, my ears perk up. I'm, what? What did God show you? What did God reveal to you? And as they share the secrets that have come alive from the Word of God, and my life is refreshed, and their life is joyous because God finally gave them that thing and they were able to take it and share it with somebody else. You see, because you don't really know what you know until you share it with somebody else. Amen? Or you even put it out there. Hey, you know, this is what the Lord showed me. Give me some feedback on this. What's been your experience about that? Oh, that's what I love about working with Pastor John. Is when I get stuck on some thoughts for a sermon, I just kind of wander down to his room whenever he's not out doing his visiting. He does a tremendous job for this church, folks. Amen. I mean, he is the heartbeat of this church. He was with Dave and Patty yesterday as Dave Minkler had another incident where he fell down and Patty had to take him back to the hospital. They walk in and the hospital staff goes, "Hi, Dave and Patty, back again, huh?" And Dave and Patty likewise turn around and say what all their names are. Because they're on a first-name basis there. They've had a lot of trips to the hospital because of Dave's health. Beloved Heavenly Father, we pray for your healing touch upon David. And we thank you that by your stripes we are healed. We stand on the truth of that word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And in that hospital, Brother John scurried right in to comfort Patty, to be with David, to just help them out in their times of struggle. And isn't that what the Bible tells us that we're supposed to do? That we're supposed to be about ministering unto each other. And so that's what Brother John does, and he does it very well. So God takes the man that he has formed, and he puts him into a garden. God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, two special trees. One, the tree of life. The other, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God told the man, don't eat of the fruit of these trees. And especially the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For if you eat of its fruit, here's a condemnation. You will die. Man had absolutely no concept up to this point about what cessation of life was going to be or about death, for he had never experienced it. I mean, this is brand new beginnings. This is the blueprint. This is the first experiment. This is God doing what God does. He created man in his image and woman. They didn't know what death was up to this point. But they had all sorts of knowledge about the workings of the earth and the animals. In fact, so much so, God had opened up the communication between he and Adam. He walked and he talked with Adam. Can you just imagine for a moment what that would be like? To just walk and talk with Yeshua in the garden. No interruptions. Just you and the Lord. Would anything about this world be important to you at that moment in time? Would the workings of anything bother you? No. You would just be so all about his presence. I know I've had those conversations with a few of you, and, well, boy, when I see Jesus, I'm going to ask him this. Imagine yourself in the garden with Yeshua Mashiach. I don't think you'd have any more questions other than, why am I being so privileged right now as to be able to walk with my Lord? And yet that's exactly what God has designed you for. He's designed you for relationship with him. And those things that I don't learn from my wife about relationships with human beings, God has freely taught me about relationship with him. And though I really want to try to get along with some of you, especially the ones of you who are a little obnoxious, and you're a little more work, I'm not saying any names. But if you're talking right now, you know who you are. Just playing. Just playing. But God reveals to me through his word how he wants me to relate to him. And you know what? God didn't want man to be idle. He didn't want man to just sit around and twiddle his thumbs or whittle on wood. No. He gave man work. You see, a man is supposed to work. That's why God put him in the garden and said, work, Adam. Take care of all that I have put in charge of you. Take care of the plants. Take care of the animals. He had supernatural knowledge. He had the knowledge of God available to him to know how to take care of all these things. Adam was a blueprint. He had this closeness, this connection with God that I long for. I long to just walk and talk with God. And yet, tell me if this isn't your struggle as well. That the more that I want it, it seems like the more things get in the way of me really having it. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you to be close to God. He knows how glorious that is. He knows what a blessed position that is. Why? Because Satan was the chief musician. He used to please God's ears with music. He used to lead the myriads of angels in glorious praise unto God. And his pride rose up. And he says, I'll exalt myself above God. Pride is still the number one problem with mankind today. The fact that we won't humble ourselves before God. And yet, isn't that exactly what Micah said? He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do justly, it means I don't try to mess with my fellow brother. I don't try to make money off them. I treat them justly, just as if I wanted to be treated. So I treat others. To love mercy. Some people like to just hold things over the top of you and try to hold you into power, into their empowerment. God says, love to give mercy. Don't hold things against people. And the third point, which I think is the most important point of all, to walk humbly with your God. That's what Adam and Eve had. God brought all the animals before Adam. And he says, Adam, what are you going to name this one? What are you going to call this one? What's this one that's going to be named? And to this day, those animals are still called that. Somehow, in God's great wisdom, he blurted out these words. It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals, birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he'd call them. And a man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky. And no, it wasn't, hey, that one's Homer. That one's Carl. No. But there was still no helper just right for him. Life gets lonely when you're by yourself. Amen? And yet that seems to be one of the things that God has blessed this church with, is a lot of people who are alone. You know why God has purposely brought you to this church? To not be alone. God has brought you to this church with a lot of other singles, a lot of other people who are not necessarily connected into a relationship to be connected into relationships. You know, one of the things that I find very disturbing about Mountain Valley Church of God There's no singles ministry. And yet, we have plenty of singles. Want me to prove it to you? Single people, stand up. If you are alone, you don't have a mate, stand up. Faye Webster says, I'm 96, I ain't going to do that. Thank you, Faye. Okay, do you think there's a viability to have a singles ministry in this church? Then I pray God would put it upon someone's heart to do that. To knit this church and its aloneness together into a group that would just love and encourage one another in your aloneness. Do you get tired of eating meals alone? Then invite somebody over. Not for courtship, not for the romance, but just to get to know your fellow brothers and sisters. Wouldn't that be a tremendous thing? If others in this community who are also alone said, you know what? Mountain Valley Church has a really cool thing going on. They've got a really strong singles ministry there. They care about the people who are alone in this world. Just saying. God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And when the man slept, the Lord God took out one of man's ribs, closed up the opening, the first surgery ever mentioned in the Bible. The Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, "This is one of my bones, and this is flesh of my flesh. She'll be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. Thank you for wearing clothes this morning. That would have been way too much information that we didn't need. Man sins. And this whole blueprint of what God ordained and desired dissolved when man disobeyed. But honestly, folks, the blueprint is this. God made you for his purposes. He desires to commune with you, to talk with you, to walk with you, to be everywhere that you are, because he is, by the way, so stop acting like he's not. He's the listener of every one of your conversations. So what is prevalent, what is the first thing on your mind about? Is it telling people about the things of this world, or is it telling people about the wonders of your God? Amen.